For those listening to KSBN Money Talk Radio who might be interested in buying physical precious metals for less than what I can pay for them, stay tuned. I have a way you can support this show and secure what I believe is the best price for precious metals on the existing market. In our first commercial break, I will explain this in more detail. And now, let's get on with Reclaiming the Republic. Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This is G.R. Mobley. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. If you go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, you can download our podcast and support documents and links. This is an educational, grassroots program designed to restore the Republic and placing the general government, or what many refer to as the federal government, back into the constitutional framework and scope of the Constitution. Well, so that lady that threw those coins into that airplane engine, I can kind of understand why she's doing that for good luck. But if you really want good luck and you want a good assurance of good luck and being able to do the things that you really need to do or get done and what have you, then just throw money at ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. And we'll be able to fight to guarantee your individual liberties and sovereignty and ensure that your privileges and immunities guaranteed by the protections of the Constitution, we'll be able to maintain that protection for you. So anyway, I thought it was important to build off that little new snippet there. Anywho, let's get started. The tool or the toll-free number that we have for you to call in on, it's not a tool, but it's a toll-free number, and that's 844-320-4299. If you cannot listen to this entire show, because you'll want to, because the content is juicy, just like last week, and I'm going to be building off of that, this show will be rebroadcasted on Saturday at 1 p.m. So make sure you tune in to get the rest of it if you can't download the podcast or you forget to download the podcast or what have you. The podcasts are always there, though. That's your assurance that you can get the sound bites and all the information and content that we have on the show. As I always say, many parts of these shows will refer to the previous shows, and these shows build off of each other. As a matter of fact, this show is a build off of last week's show. Consequently, to stay abreast with our content, you will need to listen to all these shows and garner what Republic Review is and how we can reclaim the Republic together. Don't forget, you can download these podcasts at ReclaimingTheRepublic.org so that you can stay informed. Local announcements. The Republican Coffee Club, which they have their weekly meeting. Well, this week it is Matt Close, and he's from the Agricultural Department, and he will be talking about the forestry training, the future leaders in agriculture, forestry, and natural resources. So if you're interested in something like that, then you'll want to go to the Bangkok Thai restaurant inside the No Lie Brew House, and that is on the corner of Trent and Hamilton. And in addition, the following Friday, July 7th, they will do their quarterly round robin discussion on the military industrial complex. Was Eisenhower right? And in two more weeks, or on the 14th, Mayor Dave Condon will be there. So these are very good forums to participate in and at least, you know, be able to get good local information and meeting people that are supporting our fight for taking back our liberties and our sovereignty, both from the local government, state government, and the general government. Grassroots Northwest, their next movie night, which will be the second Wednesday of July, July 12th, and it will be meeting the candidates. So they're going to have kind of, it won't be an open mic. I think John Christina will be the moderator asking questions, and I believe it's audience-based questions as well as some canned and so forth. Don't know the actual layout, and when the information comes, I'll give it to you. So you'll probably get that information on the 12th, but this is where you can meet the candidates and, you know, talk to them after the debate and so forth. So get out there. This is an opportunity to meet your representatives in your local city government. So this is a must-attend event as far as I'm concerned. So for those hedging and, you know, kind of becoming apathetic to the system and so forth and not getting involved, remember the old adage, united we stand, divided we fall. So the only reason and the only way we can succeed and not fall or fail is by actually people taking the active approach in uniting. If not, it's just like molecules. Molecules don't unite and become a part of something until they've attached. And so you actually have to attach, or you have to take action and get out there and, you know, participate in supporting, backing, and endorsing so that more molecules can become a part of this object. And so we're trying to build a huge object because there are more than enough conservatives in this area. We should not be allowing progressives to dictate their policies and their moronic ideas of taxing interstate commerce and those types of things. So anyway, I highly recommend getting involved in supporting those who are not trying to create big government programs here in Spokane, and support those who support businesses, large and small, to invest and help Spokane grow. In August, this isn't permanent or finalized yet, but I have been invited to do their movie night so that I can basically talk about my executive summary. For those of you who've seen it, partially read it, or what have you, I'm actually going to go through it on the second Wednesday of August if the plans go as planned. Who knows? Things kind of come up and things change. So we will live with the dynamics, but I'm just starting to plug this now so that in August, if you think you're going to take a vacation, make sure you plan around this, because this is something that will actually give you the details so that you can understand what we need to do if you're really interested in saving our Constitution, our individual liberties and sovereignty, and more importantly, our republic. In addition to that, I'm trying to get traction with local groups in creating a event for the Constitution Day. And I know the Constitutional Party is trying to put together something in a small venue, but I don't want them to be separate. I want to have a combined thing. And I don't believe the Constitution Party has the monopoly, or they have the upper hand in being able to say, well, you know, this is the venue, or this is the event for the day. What I'd like to do is see the Republicans, Libertarians, Constitutional Party, and I even think there's Democrats that love the Constitution. I want to see everybody be able to participate in an event recognizing the birth of our Constitution, the 17th of September. And so that's coming up in a few months. And I'd like to get all the leaders of these groups working together in trying to come up with an appropriate venue so that the city of Spokane and the surrounding area can literally come and, you know, enjoy our freedoms, privileges, immunities, all these things together with like-minded people on that given day. And I believe, I don't have a calendar in front of me, but I think it's a Sunday. So if they did it on a Saturday the day before or that Sunday, that would be great. And I'm sure, wouldn't you who are driving, you who are listening right now, wouldn't you actually attend an event that's recognizing and celebrating our Constitution? Why wouldn't you? Of course you would. Why would I even say that? Anyway, there is also a move afoot, yours truly, because I haven't given up and I'm going to keep on pushing and pushing. I would like to see an event, not just here, but I'd like to see an events statewide where Washington and the citizens of this great state start celebrating its birth into the Union and it becoming a stakeholder in the Constitution. It's a very significant day for us. That's November 11th. And I am trying to push others and other organizations and leaders into saying, you know what, we should be doing this. We really need to start making more awareness of our Constitution and being a stakeholder of the Constitution and teaching people these things. And the best way to do that is having events, and events where we can talk and teach about these things, not just this great radio show, but, you know, let's share the wealth with other people because they have some insights as well. I do not have a monopoly on insights. I am the first to admit that. So anyway, there is a possibility, though, that I or someone may be teaching the Constitution in some local public libraries. And I'm trying to get that kickstarted just because the school system doesn't teach it, and they haven't taught it in a long time. And we're talking about a line-by-line concept. And I know people that have the content and so forth. And it's just a matter of aligning the stars, so to speak, and getting this started. So if you want to support a lot of these types of things, like I said, don't throw, insults, throw money. Anyway, playing back to that lady throwing money into the jet engine. That being said, I can hear some music, so I will get back to some of these local things and the content that I have for you today. So please stay tuned. I will be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you. Okay, so last week I mentioned the Federalist Paper number 49, and I was actually trying to find the title for that Federalist Paper because I'm trying to hopefully motivate you to just picking up and at least reading this one, because this is one article that Madison talks about in a response to a gentleman's concept of utilizing conventions at will. And the title of this article is Method of Guarding Against the Encroachments of Any One Department of Government by Appealing to the People Through a Convention. And so if you go through this article, and we will finally, maybe next week, I still got a lot of content I wanted to get through on the Platonist and Communist playbook, what we've got, what we're dealing with in this society, because there's just plenty of evidence I want to build off of to prove what's going on. So back to the Federalist Paper before I start going down the Platonist path. If you look at this and you read through this, Madison is not necessarily a fan of calling for conventions, but he does point out that this is a mechanism in dealing with encroachments. And he's used several other statements where the states possess enough power. I've read these Federalist Papers before, in Federalist Paper 46, 43, and so forth, that the state obviously has the advantage over the federal government, and that the states can easily exercise that authority over the federal government in a contractual sense. And so in this Federalist Paper, there's nowhere other than the end where Madison basically says that he just doesn't recommend using the convention in this capacity, but nowhere in here is he talking about or is the concept of amending the Constitution. So the reason I'm pointing this particular Federalist Paper out so that you can understand while you're reading this, that this is a mechanism, this is a convention for administrative purposes. If you read through this, it's very clear that the intent of this really isn't to make wholesale changes to the Constitution or even really amend it. It's identifying that the federal government, the general government, are inferior or child governments supporting the states in the capacity we've delegated to them. When they're encroaching upon state rights, the state can easily, and the states can, step in an administrative capacity and say, you know what, sorry, son, daughter, if you, want to be mutually, or child, if you want to be kind of, what's the word for that? Neutral, not sex neutral, child, okay, child, you've overstepped your limitations in the Constitution, and now it's time to pull you back in because the Constitution limits you to only these powers that we've enumerated. You cannot just assume this power of agriculture, this power of energy, this, these executive departments that I've been harping on, these 12 executive departments that are not within the scope of those enumerated powers. You can't be doing that. So the states have this power to do this at any point in time. And one of the metaphors I kind of like using, or I should say kind of tying a story and a metaphor, is if you're familiar with The Lord of the Rings, and there's that point when Gandalf goes to Rohan to meet with the king for the first time, and the king is under this daze, under this spell of, I think, Wormtongue or something like that. He's a soothsayer that basically has this king convinced that he's dying, that he can't do anything, that all is lost, and, you know, that he has to kind of trust in Wormtongue and kind of making, you know, them as safe as they can be, because all, you know, you could just see him in this grasp of this spell. And when Gandalf comes in and breaks the spell, the king finally comes to the realization that he has the authority, he has the power to stand on his own 2 feet, that he still has what's the remnants left of his army that Wormtongue hasn't dispatched, those loyalists and so forth, that, you know, and he calls for the riders of Rohan to, you know, gather and to, you know, march against Mordor. The states are in the same position. We have been put under the spell by soothsayers of the Supreme Court that can't dictate anything constitutional. They can only determine whether something is in the Constitution or not. And they've been reaching well outside the Constitution for a long time. And there's plenty of books. Mark Levin has a book about Men in Black that discusses this. And there's a lot of other books. I think From Kirk to Russell about philosophy and American conservatism is another. There's a lot of books out there, even mine, that talk about how these nefarious men with machinations and designs in undermining the power of the Republic and in usurping their power to consolidate it in the national government. These people have been telling us for years that, no, the federal government is supreme in all things. There's nowhere in the Constitution where it says that. As a matter of fact, all the evidence, which I have been telling you, and if you go back and look at these Federalist Papers, the evidence is there. And when we get into the ratification debates, it's there. The evidence supports what I'm telling you, that they don't have the power over anything other than the enumerated powers. All these concocted powers that they have, that they're exercising under these 12 unconstitutional executive departments, all of those powers that they're exercising is tyranny. That's all it is. It's arbitrary rule of government that they have inflicted on us outside the scope and outside our approval, because the Constitution in Article 5 requires the federal government or the general government to basically put forth an amendment and have that amendment ratified by the states. So get to Federalist Paper number 49. So read this, and you'll see where he doesn't talk anywhere about convening a convention for literally amending the Constitution or anything else other than an administrative convention. He's not necessarily a fan of this, but he can't deny the fact that this could happen. He speaks kind of against this in some context, but the bottom line is this, that administrative conventions are well within the scope and concept of a republic. The republic has all powers. As a matter of fact, I love asking this question. What powers are restricted from the republic? Well, if you think about it, the 10th Amendment says that all powers that aren't delegated specifically to the federal government are reserved to the states, which is the republic. So in other words, if the Republic wants to exercise an administrative convention or an audit of the Constitution, which is what I call for, we got to audit the Constitution in a convention, which I call Republic Review. By doing that, it keeps people from thinking about a convention of states to amend or an Article 5 convention. Because guess what? An Article 5 convention requires that the states petition Congress. A convention for Republic Review does not require the states petitioning Congress. A state can just stand up and say, hey, you're violating the Constitution in all of these ways, and we want you to prove to us that you followed our contractual process that we've delegated to you. And if not, then you have to stop, cease, and desist. is the epiphany occurring? I hope you don't have any accidents in driving home or whatever it is you're doing when you have these epiphanies as I'm talking here. But anyway, I digress. I'm still just trying to get through some of these local events. And how about in local events, that power outage on Monday? Boy, that storm really knocked out some power. And in my neighborhood, my neighbors literally suffered for a full day without power. And as prescribed, my whole house generator kicked on 15 seconds later, and it ran flawlessly throughout that entire power outage and kicked on almost a day later, or kicked off, I should say. And we went back to street power almost a day later. So that was very sweet. And if you don't like being inconvenienced without power, I would highly recommend you calling ACI Northwest and have them come out and basically give you an estimate of what it'll take to fix your house so you don't suffer. Well, we've got a break here. I'll be right back after this break. So please stay tuned. Thank you. As a reminder, I have had a standing question for all my listeners concerning whether the U.S. Constitution guarantees the freedom of religion or not. So if you feel like the U.S. Constitution guarantees that any religion can come in here and set up, whether it be Satan's religion or, you know, any foreign religion can come in here and set up, that the U.S. Constitution guarantees the freedom of all religions, by all means, give me a call. Because I'd like to discuss your view on that, and then we can go into the historical context of what the freedom of religious expression meant and what the Establishment Clause meant and so forth. But anyway, if you do want to call, and you're motivated to call right now, the line is open. And as a matter of fact, you'll know probably when the line isn't open, because you might hear in the background the phone ringing and somebody picking up and so forth. But anyway, that number to call in toll free is 844-320-4299. In the future, I will be having these guests because I've actually coordinated with them and they will be coming in. And I'm actually hoping that Aaron Tilbury from the Jonah Project will be in. We're scheduled to have him in next Thursday so that we can do a pre-recorded session with him. He's a pretty busy guy, and what he's doing is really important. And he's, you know, it's just amazing that he has given his life to this type of ministry that he's doing. But I want to give you the I want him to give you the information on what he's doing and, you know, how this is important and what's going on underneath your nose and possibly, you know, how you can help and so forth. I've also coordinated with Dr. Glenn Kimber and getting some time for him when he's in the area to come in, stop in, and do a recorded session. His organization has the Thomas Jefferson Center nationwide, and they also have the Kimber Academy where they teach conservative values. They actually teach civics, the Constitution, and so forth. And so we will be having him on as well, probably doing a pre-recording, because matching schedules may be very difficult for my airing time and him being here. And I also got a hold of Dr. John Arvile, and he is the Dean of Political Science out of Middle Tennessee University. He's written like 30 some books about the Constitution, framers, and so forth, and a lot of other articles, and he's published his dad's poetry. But anyway, Dr. Vile will be coming on, and I actually had a conversation with him a couple weeks ago, or actually, no, it was last week. We talked about my concepts of being able to, instead of repealing the 17th Amendment, just deratify it. And he goes, you know, that's very interesting. You should be able to do that. There may be some resistance, but there's no reason why you can't. You know, they're going to talk precedents, but once they open that door and they allow states to swing one way, they can't allow it to only swing one way. That door has to swing both ways. And some other, you know, Republic Review and so forth. And want to get into what he offers in teaching the Constitution. And I'm not sure if they offer online Constitution classes, but I do know they do have distant learning. And it is a good conservative school if you're looking to, you know, cut your teeth, or you have a kid that's looking to cut their teeth and going to a good conservative school. Middle Tennessee University might be a good one. Last week is where I spoke about Platonism. And what is Platonism? It is what you would call communism. I use the word Platonism in this terminology because of the origins. I mean, Marx and Engels did not come up with this concept on their own. The first time this concept of statist ideology has ever been pinned to paper or parchment or wood or whatever they did back in Aristotle and Plato's time, when Plato pinned the Republic, this was the first time it was formally put onto whatever medium that they did so that it could be published. And now you can go read Plato's Republic. And I would recommend go to the library, because I know they have it there. Check out Plato's Republic. It's not that difficult of a read. I don't want to say it's long or short, but it's a reasonable read. And it is the insights and the playbook for what Marx and Engels used. Again, Plato's ancient playbook, the Republic, was Marx and Engels' guide in setting up their version of communism. As I was ending the show last week, I was speaking about the fact that we conservatives have a long path of compromising our values and our morals to the progressives. Never the contrary to that. They've never compromised their morals. It's always been us to compromise. Can you think of a single compromise that the left has ever conceded? And if you can't, call. Because I can't think of one where the left has ever conceded to conservatives or to relinquish a position that we have allowed in the past to restore an important conservative value that's critical to our society, like prayer in school, teaching out of the Bible, teaching, you know, financial health and economics and those types of things, because they've removed all these things from school so that they can do the social engineering that is necessary in preparing the next generation for a closer step towards communism. Are we any closer to bringing back any of these values like prayer in school, or even allowing the Bible instead of the Quran to be used and cited in school? The answer is no. Does it bother you to know that across the nation, the school system is using the Quran, soft peddling Islam, and teaching Islamic culture in our schools? Or having our daughters, for example, going wearing habibs and teaching them how to wear a habib? This is not only hypocrisy, but this is a blatant slap in the face to Christians. If the school system is not going to allow similar exposure to the Bible and Christian culture and values, then the Quran, or even Satan's Bible, has no place in our school system. With regard to compromise, I cannot see anywhere where any compromised or lost Christian value has been or is on any path to being restored. Well, except for maybe a few things lately that Trump has done in his executive orders by bypassing the progressives completely, because they are just a cesspool when the Republicans are with them in compromise. And so he's actually taken back and strengthened the church from the state's oppression, such as the protection from taxes and so forth, that I think it was the Johnson bill or act that Trump had basically undone. So let me beg your latitude here and ask that you clear your head, but focus on the given important tasks that you're doing. But I would like you to think of all the progressive wins over the past century. One off the top of my head is the Scopes or the monkey trial that was back in the 20s that forced evolution to be taught in the school. You know, we used to actually teach from the Bible, and it was up until that point and creationism when the progressives got a hold of this Darwinian theory and evolution, and they won in court, and it's been a downward trend ever since. Remember a couple of months back, I had Mark Urbach on the show I believe it was twice, talking about other court trials where the government has enforced their secularism upon us and has banned our own Christian teachings, values, heritage, and any hint of Christianity in our school system. How about the school system going from teaching chastity to sexual promiscuity? While schools are no longer teaching promiscuity, they are in-your-face advocates for sexualizing your children and now have become the agents of enforcing the LGBT agenda. Folks, this didn't happen overnight. This is like the analogy of the boiling frog, and they've got even more degrees to add to the pot. Contrary to what the progressives may tell you, conservatives like me are not advocating that we drag these people out into the streets for a stoning. Remember, we are Christians and have a responsibility to speak out against sin, whether it be sexual or not. Whether the sin be of a perverse nature or adultery or stealing, it doesn't really matter what the sin is. We're supposed to be talking about living Christ-like and trying to emulate a sinless life and following his commandments and so forth. Well, this is what happens when Christians take a tolerant approach with sin. It's quickly becoming an acceptance of this behavior. My, how the table is turned, and it is obvious who is controlling the narrative. And if you sat down and listed every Christian tenet, every Christian doctrine from creation to marriage and those types of things, you'll find that the school system is teaching the antithesis to these doctrines. That's right. And if you want to hear more about this, please stay tuned because I'm going to get into more of the details of this as soon as we get back from our sponsors. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back. Thank you. Okay, so we're back. And during that break, I was just talking to my engineer slash producer slash manager slash everything. And we were talking about how Berkeley started this free speech movement and how whenever conservatives and the good people stood up and said, hey, that's communism, that's bad, they would basically squeal like a pig. And so they got us to shame us by using tolerance to say, oh, you're intolerant towards other ideas and we're supposed to have a freedom of an exchange and so forth. And it's one thing to have an exchange of ideas, but it's another one to have those ideas pervert our constitutional republic and actually move us into a political system of communism. And that was their design. And as a matter of fact, he mentioned to me during the break that the backlash at the University of Missouri had been of such that their freshman class, because of their political correctness, their freshman class enrollment is down, is causing them to let go staff and so forth. And he said, so it looks like, you know, things are going to correct themselves. And I had to point out, at least this is my philosophy, the progressives don't correct themselves. What they're going to do is they'll go back into the drawing room and they'll go, okay, so because what they're selling us is a turd, and excuse the expression. And all they're doing is going back into their back room and figuring out how they can polish this turd so that it just looks better, so that people will want to be a part of it. Because that's all it is selling a terrible, destructive ideology and concepts that are going to subjugate us. These people are promoting the enslavement of people to government. Anyway, folks, as I was just saying about the teaching and taking away Christianity from our school, think about this. This is teaching religion of secularism to your children as they teach sexual promiscuity and now promoting and advocating, as they teach evolution instead of creationism, or the opposing concepts and ideas of creation and so forth. Sadly, it is not just that they are teaching the secular religion to your kids. they will punish any child who tries to cite biblical or Christian stories, doctrine, or anything of a Christian nature if they do it in school. As a matter of fact, they're shutting down all over this country study groups. You don't even bring your Bible to school. They don't want to see it. And we kind of live in the very last bastion. The readout area here is the last bastion. So if you don't think it's happening, you need to start plugging into what's going on in California, what's going on in New York, and even in Virginia and other places you'd think they wouldn't be leading in this, but they are. They're ahead of us. So that if you don't understand what this all means, then I'm going to try to explain this. That the federal government... Right, we have this federal government, and the First Amendment keeps them from establishing a religion. However, the federal government has established a national secular church. In doing this, they are violating that very same First Amendment, what we call the Establishment Clause. Instead of having a separate church building where they teach their secular Sunday school, the government secular church uses the school system and has a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday school. But on top of this, they have become anti-Christian, or in other words, and please listen to these words, they are exercising anti-Christ doctrines. Today, leadership in the education system considers your children their property. If you have read Hillary Clinton's book, It Takes a Village to Raise a Child, this book is selling the idea of socializing or nationalizing the family, and more importantly, nationalizing your child. Did you know that Plato postulated the idea that the state would dictate who would marry who and how children would be trained and raised? Well, Communist Manifesto had that too. This way, if they control this, and they control and nationalize your children, this way they can produce the greatest athletes, the most brilliant minds, and so forth, by determining who should marry who and who can couple the best genetics together to meet the different purposes of society that we require at the time. And so isn't that interesting? If you think about it, that the state would want to dictate this to be able to react towards our needs and so forth. And I mean, it almost sounds like Orwellian or maybe Nazi Germany or the Soviet Union. Yeah, that's exactly where you would hear these things. And they're actually starting to surface in Hillary's book and in other postulated ideas, books, publications, and the words that are coming out of the progressives' mouth. When I say progressives, these are the Democrat leaders. These are the people that have taken over the Democrat Party. Hillary does not spell out the dictating of marriages, but she does spell out that the state takes an active control, in other words, controlling the world that the child is being raised in. This way, the government can ensure the parent is doing all the necessary things and keeping them from filling the child's head with needless religious dogma. Interesting. Go back and read that book if you haven't read it. Don't buy it. Go to the library and just check it out so that you can read it and go, oh my gosh, he's right. To be clear, if one reads the Communist Manifesto, Marx speaks of a similar importance to ensure the children do not learn the truth about religion or their heritage and customs. If you can grasp this and what is going on here, then you'll understand what your children or grandchildren are facing in our society if we do not change our course is deplorable. They will be convinced to surrender and abandon their family. They will leave them unencumbered to their careers and pastimes and have more fun. They're going to be buying into this as time goes on. Let me give you a personal prediction. And I predicted this about 4 or 5 years ago before my wife and I moved up here, that what the progressives have in store for your children in their school system and moving this agenda forward. I believe soon the school system, and I've guessed about 10 years. My wife thinks it was going to be faster, but I think that, you know, with Trump in office, it may slow down a little bit. But I believe soon in the school system, the children of age 12 or maybe even younger, assigning your children homework to engage in different sex acts so that they can become self-identified as a specific orientation, and they will be tracked to help them down this path. Of course, you won't know that your kids are doing this because Common Core has already got teachers keeping curriculum content away from their parents. Therefore, as things slowly begin to ratchet up with their agenda and they start moving down this direction, teachers will already be conditioned to doing what's best for your kids, or what they consider their kids now. As a part of this conditioning, we will see teachers, before this stuff really gets surfaced, we will see the teachers with an ethical background and, you know, moral conscience getting reprimanded or fired for disclosing any form of curriculum content to the parents because it is supposed to be withheld. You may not see the possibilities of this happening here, but places that have a large population of conservatives like this will be the last place converted to the new paradigm. Remember that saying, that old saying, things that you see happen in California quickly manifest themselves right here in your own backyard. If gas goes up, gas goes up here. If something happens in California, you can almost expect to see it here. We have to start working together. We have to start uniting. That's my central message here, so that we can reclaim the Republic, and we need your help. So tune in next week, and I will hopefully get through the last of this and into the Federalist Papers. If not, then get the podcast from reclaimingtherepublic.org. Thank you very much, and we'll see you next week.